about you, but I love those bits in the Bible that tell me how much God loves me. But when it comes to the bits about me taking the trouble and making the sacrifices to share his love around, well, honestly, I'd rather skim over those bits some days. But if we do, we miss out on one of the most important things in life. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond. Great to be back with you again. Today we're going to take another look at love from a different perspective. And please do stick with me, because at the end of today's message, I'll be telling you about our latest life application booklet. It's called The Power of Love. I'd love to send you a copy to help you experience the transformational power of God's love in your life. Hey, listen, how are you today? I hope that if you've been able to join me over the last week and a half on the program, you've been as touched and as moved by the love of God as I have. There's something so special about God's love. It never fails. We've seen, too, how that love is for everyone who would come to Jesus and ask for his forgiveness and help. That leper whom we met, who cut through every legal, religious, and social barrier to kneel down at Jesus' feet and to say to him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus, moved with compassion, reached out and touched him and said, "I am willing, be made clean." And the unclean woman who'd been hemorrhaging and suffering for 12 years, who pressed through the crowd to touch Jesus' cloak and was healed through her faith in his power and his love. This healing love isn't just for the greatest. It's also for the least. In fact, especially for them, the poor, the lame, the blind, the marginalized, the prisoners, the brokenhearted, everyone. And everyone includes you and me. But here's the thing, and it's an odd thing. Love is only love when we give it away. If it just flows in without flowing out, it becomes stagnant and eventually it dies. So today I'd like to take a look at what we should do with this amazing love that God pours out upon us. Because when we start doing something with that love, it's only then that our lives become rich and fulfilled. It's interesting actually how often God's word talks about the inflow and the outflow of love. Happens quite a bit. Although us being who we are, we kind of lap up the bits about God's love being poured on us. But when it comes to us, you and me, sacrificing our lives so that his love can be poured out on others, well, you see, that's not so much what we want to hear. If you happen to be going to church, let me ask you, when was the last time you heard a sermon or a message on this passage, 1 John chapter 3, verse 16? We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. Yeah, right. We don't like that second bit too much. But surprisingly, it's in that second bit, that bit about us laying down our lives for each other, that we discover our purpose in life. And when we live out that purpose, we discover fulfillment and contentment. And those are commodities everyone's looking for, only to discover that when you look in the wrong places, they're very much in short supply. But in the kingdom of God, in God's economy, there's more than enough fulfillment and contentment to go around. So let's unpack this a bit and see if we can't get some more fulfillment and contentment happening in our lives. Now, let's explore this link between living out God's love, letting it flow out of us, and contentment and satisfaction, because the two are intrinsically linked. 1 John chapter 4, beginning at verse 15. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we've known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. And there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, "I love God," and hate their brother or sister are liars. For those who do not love a brother or a sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they haven't seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. So, first up, when we believe in Jesus, it's not about some distant belief. It's about God abiding in us and us abiding in him. Great word, that abiding. It means to move in, to stay. It means a strong and intimate relationship. And because God is love, when he dwells in us, his saving love dwells in us too. For me, and for everyone else too, That means having a relationship with him. It means trusting him, praying, reading his word, listening, enjoying, living our lives for him, making decisions that honour him. That's what abiding means. And then what we discover in that place is this amazing love. It just floods over us and envelops us and we blossom and we thrive in it. Because not only do we experience the love of Jesus who died so that we could be forgiven, we experience the love of Jesus who rose again. And through that, we have a new life. And that new life, coming with all the ups and downs that it does for sure, that new life, living, dwelling, abiding in the love of God, is awesome. You see, there's no fear in love, but perfect love, God's love, casts out all the fear, because fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears hasn't reached perfection in love. Forgiven, no longer afraid. Blessed, absolutely awesome. And friend, if you believe in Jesus, but that's not the sort of life you're having, then it's time to do some abiding. Because whatever our circumstances, he wants us to rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy in his love. But right following on from this description of this fantastic love is the outworking of that love in our lives. Please listen carefully as we read it again. 1 John chapter 4, beginning at verse 19. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and yet hate their brothers and sisters are liars. For those who don't love a brother or a sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this. Those who love God must love their brothers and sisters too. See, what God's saying here to us through the Apostle John is this. If you're experiencing the love of God, I mean truly, really, powerfully in your life, then you won't be able to help yourself. You'll end up loving others because he first loved you. And if we kid ourselves by saying, hey, I love God, without living God's love out in our lives, then we're liars. You can't help it. Immerse yourself in God's love, and the natural, inevitable consequence of that is love for others. And here's the exciting thing. I was made to love people one way, and you were made to love them the other way. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 to 8. We're not going to go there now. But that sets out all the different motivational gifts that we have. And you and I are wired differently. And God's plan is that we live out who we are by loving other people. If you read those giftings in Romans chapter 4, you'll discover one of them is a leader. It's what I am. And the way I love other people is by using my strength to get things done for them. Now, you may be an encourager, and the way you love them is by encouraging them, and so on. Is it hard sometimes? Of course it is. If you spent any time with me, you might find from time to time I'm difficult to love, and vice versa, right? Point is, even when we're still struggling or hurting in our lives, one of the greatest things we can do is to take as much of God's love as we've experienced so far in our abiding with him and go and love other people with it using the gifts and motivations and talents God's given us. And when we do that, it's awesome. Firstly, those other people get blessed by what God's given us. And the crazy thing is that we get blessed because finally we're living the life God always meant for us to live. Do you see? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do the good works God prepared beforehand for us to walk into. And if perhaps God's love is feeling a bit stale in your life at the moment, it's time to go and give some of it away. There's a reason for that. Faith without works is dead. Go give it away. Go sacrifice for others. Then, all of a sudden, it comes back to life. It's the way God planned for it to be. We all have things in us that aren't what they should be. Perhaps that's why the self-help and motivation industries are worth multiple billions of dollars the world over. But none of those things even begin to compare to the power of God's love in transforming our lives for the better. That's why I'd love to send you a free copy of our latest life application booklet. It's called The Power of Love, and it's full of life-changing practical Bible teaching to help you experience the transformational power of God's love in your life. To request your free copy, stop by our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see that free offer right there toward the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be winging its way to your inbox in just seconds. Again, that web address is ChristianityWorks.com. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm Bernie Diamond. Catch you again, same time tomorrow. with a different perspective.